Well, it's great being here with you this morning. It's great seeing you here. I'm glad you came to praise the Lord, our Savior, together. It is great having you here. This month, we're going to look at celebrating what Christ has been doing in your midst before I came, why I've been here, and what He's going to do going forward. And we want to start off with today of just remembering what Christ has done for us. It should be a day of celebration. Anticipation for His return, excitement to see Him coming. I will be done at the end of March, and so if any of you would like a visit, please let me know. I'd love to visit you. I've been trying to catch as many as I can while you're here. I only have a few days left, even though it sounds like the month of March. I don't have the full month of March here, so just give me a call, let me know. I would love to have coffee with you. And thank you for the opportunity to minister to you. Also, take your bulletins. You will notice lots of announcements there, lots of different things coming up. So just make sure that you make a note of all the different things that are there. And while you have it open, let us go to Exodus. Exodus. We're going to take a look for the month of March. Of going through the wilderness. We want to take a look at Moses as he led the people through the wilderness and what we can learn from that, what we can take away from that this morning as we start this time off. So if you have your Bibles, may I encourage you to go to Exodus chapter 3. And we will be looking briefly from Exodus 3 to chapter 12. As I said earlier, I want to start the new series, and it'll be my final messages, looking at Moses leading the nation of Israel through the wilderness. And the story is found in Exodus, but it also runs through Leviticus and Numbers. The story gives a great account of Moses successfully doing transition management with the nation of Israel, and with the help of the Holy Spirit. Moses showed us and has continually shown us how to lead a group of people from an old way of doing things to a new way. And I want us to begin in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Moses is out in the wilderness. And God is speaking to him. God has heard the people murmuring. They're in Egypt. They're in slavery now. Pharaoh saw a great mass of people coming, put them under slavery. People were crying out to God, and God heard them. And so he met Moses, and he said, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt. I want you to go to my people. Moses said, who am I? What if they don't believe me? And he came up with lots of different excuses, different reasons. And you see that in chapter 4 of God talking to him. And when we come to chapter 5, Moses comes to the people. He goes to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, not a chance. In fact, because you have asked, I'm now going to increase their misery. I'm going to make it harder for them. You go on to chapter 6, then we get into the plagues. God started moving powerfully amongst the people of Israel, but he'd been moving powerfully in Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And the plagues started coming upon them. And the people of Israel cried out to God, and they cried out to Moses, and Moses would go before God, and we see this story. Then we come to chapter 12. In chapter 12, we see that God protects his people. Chapter 12 is, in your Bibles, will be called the Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread. And through Moses, God protected his people from the full impact of the plagues by making symbolic mark on the doorposts of the Jewish home so that God's wrath would pass by. Moses laid out to the people of Israel what they were to do. And they were to take the blood and they were to smear it on both sides and across the top. And when the angel of death would come through, if they saw that, he saw that, he would pass by the home. Through Moses, God created among them, the Jews, the basis for a new identity, a new culture, one that they were to carry with them as they moved into the desert, as they wandered for 40 years. Remember what the Lord has done. Moving forward now into the Old Testament, into the New Testament, God once again provides for you and me by sending his one and only Son, which we've been singing about, which we've been given praise for, to pay a price for your sins and for mine. Once and for all, no more sacrifices were to be required. He paid it all. If you were to go with me to Mark chapter 14. We have a story here of the Lord's Supper. And I would like to just read this. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. So we have to work at this very carefully. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume, made of pure nard, and she broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. And some of those present were upset. And they said to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wage, and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. Jesus answered, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you. You can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body before to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. And so he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparation for you to eat the Passover?" And so he sent the two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city. When a man carrying a jar of water will meet you, follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparation for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said to them, "I tell you the truth. One of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened. And one by one they said to him, "Surely not I." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it has been written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would have been better for him if he had not been born. And while they were eating bread, Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, after giving thanks, he offered it to them, and they drank from it. "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth. I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. We're encouraged to do this till the Lord returns. This is why we participate in communion. God created amongst us our new identity, our new culture. This morning, we'll be participating in remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us. Fairly shortly, we'll be walking through John Wesley's communion responsive reading. You will see places where you're asked to read it, and I would encourage you that you read it together out loud. I would encourage you to follow along with the parts that I will be reading. Afterwards, the elders and some of them with their wives will come to the tables. So there's four here in the front and there's two in the back. And may I encourage you, when the Lord moves in you, when you're prompted and when you're ready, to go to one of those tables. And they will serve you. They will pray for you. And they walk you through it. And after everybody has gone through that, we will then close our service. It's a time of celebration. It's a time to remember what the Lord has done. So go ahead and you can bring it up, the first slide. And I will start off reading this. I would encourage you to listen to the words and read them and think about them. You who truly and earnestly repent of your sins, who live in love and peace with your neighbors, who intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament ordinance to your comfort, humbly kneeling, and make your honest confession of Almighty God. Let me lead you in a general confession. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we confess that we have sinned, and we are deeply grieved as we remember the wickedness of our past lives. We have sinned against you, your holiness, and your love. And we deserve your indignation and anger. We sincerely repent, and we are genuinely sorry for all our wrongdoing and every failure to do the things we should. Our hearts are grieved, and we acknowledge that we are hopeless without your grace. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us. Cleanse us. Give us strength to serve and please you in newness of life, and to honor and praise your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And this is your part, and may I encourage you to read it out loud. Our Father, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who with great mercy has promised forgiveness to all who turn to Him, to You, with a hearty repentance and true faith, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from our sins, make us strong and faithful in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And this is your part. Read it out loud, please. Almighty God, it is always right and proper and our moral duty that we should at all times, in all places, give thanks to You, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the inhabitants of heaven, we honor and adore You, Your glorious name, forevermore praising You and saying, and let us read it together, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Hi. Glory. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, and as it was in the beginning, is now, and forever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. We don't come to Your table, O merciful Lord, with self-confidence and pride, trusting in our own righteousness, but we trust in Your great and many mercies. We are not worthy to gather the crumbs from underneath Your table, but You, O Lord, are unchanging in Your mercy, and Your nature is love. Grant us, therefore, God of mercy, God of grace, so to eat at this Your table, that we may receive Your Spirit and in truth the body of Your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and the merits of His shed blood, so that we may live and grow in His likeness, and being washed and cleansed through His most precious blood, we may forever live in Him and He in us. Amen. We pray a prayer of consecration. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who gave in love Your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who be His sacrifice offered once and for all, did provide a full and perfect and sufficient atonement for the sins of the whole world. We come now to Your table in obedience to Your Son, Jesus Christ, who in His holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of His precious death until He comes again. Hear us, O merciful Father. We humble ourselves, ask, and grant that we, receiving this bread and this cup, as He's commanded in memory of His passion and death, may partake of His most blessed body and blood. I will now pray over the elements. In the night of His betrayal, Jesus took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them. Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed upon Him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. In like manner, after supper, He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. I will close with this benediction. And as music is playing very quietly and softly, may I encourage the elders to come up to the tables now. And when you are ready, please come and they will be glad to pray with you and to serve you. Let me pray. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be for yours forever, now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you all for participating. Thank you for taking the time to remember what the Lord has done. And we look forward to the day the Lord returns. Could even be today before the day is done. And what a day that will be to be in His glory, to lift Him up, and to give Him praise and honor. Such an exciting time, and thank you for being here. Thank you for participating with us. And we look forward to, as we go out this week, may we be the agent that the Lord asks us to be. May we honor Him and glorify Him in all that we do and we say.